Now, the outcome was still very uncertain, because Mao, towards the end of his life, obviously had favored the left. There was the opportunity that the left could stay in power after his death. And it was a coalition between the party modernizers that wanted to experiment, particularly in the economic sector, and the military, that undid the political hegemony of the left within the party through what can best be characterized as a coup d'etat just after Mao's death, in which his radical allies and his widow, Jiang Qing, were arrested and then a few years later prosecuted for what was seen as really political crimes that they had committed, really meaning that they represented the left within the party. Then gradually, during the late 1970s, you have a development towards a very different kind of thinking about China and its future, based on a much bigger ability for people to take control over their daily lives, the introduction of market mechanisms, not a full-fledged market, that took a very long time. You really get into the 1980s before the market started to take hold, but using the market in a way that had not happened before, reinventing money in many ways, money as a means for consumption, for ordinary people, for families, and first and foremost through allowing people in the countryside to produce both for private consumption and for sale, at least within their local areas, as a deliberate way of creating the kind of capital from within that was necessary to get new kind of industrialization going in China. So the changes were incredible during this period. I was in China myself for part of the very late 1970s, and going from having two or three restaurants in central Beijing that were operating where people could go in and dine, but only if they had permission from their work unit, to the kind of neon-lit streets with all kinds of things on offer that you had only a few years later, was a true shock to people who knew old China, knew how China had developed during the Cultural Revolution especially.